Well, I think the Lenten campaign is what distinguishes TROCRA as a development organisation in a world where there are many development organisations. And of course, as an organisation established by the Catholic Church, we are faith-based, and Lent is a church season, and it calls on the faithful to respond through almsgiving, to understanding what is happening in the world by reflecting on questions of poverty and justice. And that is the basis of our campaign, and it is our flagship campaign of the year. I think without the Lenten campaign, TROCRA would not be the organisation it is today. And this is our 35th anniversary year, which means it's actually our 36th campaign. And it's extraordinary the level of support and commitment that we've had now from almost two generations of people, because people have grown up with the Lenten box and they remember it from school, and now their own kids are bringing it back. So it has become part of Irish society. In fact, the Taoiseach some years ago at an anniversary function for TROCRA referred to it as one of the national minor icons. And I thought it was a nice way of putting it.
Very nice.
I think the TROCRA box is part of Irish life now.
Yeah. And you take a different theme every year. Like last year then you kind of moved away from the on the ground ones. Gender discrimination, that was quite a change, wasn't it?
It was, but you know, it reflected kind of the new issues that we have to deal with, because as an organisation that's going now for 35 years, you have to change and address the issues of the day. And we have seen that the whole question of gender inequality, and particularly in the poorer countries, is central to the issue of poverty. And without addressing gender inequality, we cannot address the question of poverty. And we wanted to highlight this issue for the people here in Ireland who support us so generously. And it was always going to be a difficult and a tricky issue. And so it proved. But nonetheless, there's nothing like a little bit of controversy and a little bit of argy-bargy to really get people engaged in the issue. And the feedback we got in the end was that people really thought it was a good one. There were discussions around kitchen tables. There were discussions in classrooms. There were discussions, you know, with students in the bar and wherever. And I think it was good. It raised those issues, but more particularly it raised very valuable funds to support our work to end gender inequality in the developing world. And that is central to our struggle to help to overcome poverty and to establish a just world.
This year you're going with climate change.
Well, climate change is all the talk. Everyone is talking about it. In fact, we had planned this campaign just a few months before this became a real issue. Over the last 18 months, it's been part of our plan for the last 2 years. But we're delighted that it is such a popular issue now to discuss. Because what we want to bring to people's attention here is the impact of climate change on the poorest people in the world. Certainly for all of us, for the world, we must respond for all our own good. But the people in the developing world are already feeling the impact of climate change. That those that are most vulnerable, those who have least to fall back on, are finding that with rainfall not being consistent, with the growth in tropical storms, followed by drought, the impact that can have on the precarious places where people live, on the hillsides outside cities where there can be landslides and so on, that these are the people who are already paying the price for our squandering the Earth's resources through overconsumption, which is producing the gases that are leading to climate change.
And yet if we're to encourage them to have growth themselves, will they be able to be responsible for climate change themselves?
Well, certainly we have in the wealthy countries major responsibility to develop the new technologies that will allow for economic growth for everybody and work for everybody in a way that doesn't damage the environment. And it's absolutely critical that we share these technologies with the poorer countries so that they don't have to continue to follow the old style technologies that have produced the problems that we have. But certainly those that have had less causes and have less impact on climate are those who are suffering most. And I think it would not be very just of us to then point the finger at them and say, well, now that you've learned from our mistakes, you can't develop yourselves. I think all of this is about the proper development of society and of the world's resources so that each generation in turn can benefit from creation. And we are the first generation in all of human history that is handing on the earth in worse condition than that in which we inherited it. And that is really a responsibility on us to face up to this issue.
It is. Now, you've already actually been putting some of this in place with disaster risk reduction, haven't you?
That's right. I mean, people will recall in the 1990s Hurricane Mitch and many other hurricanes that hit the developing world and where people suffered dreadfully as a result, with great loss of life, floods, housing and so on being damaged. So we have helped communities to cope with this. I mean, we can't change the climate overnight with the flick of a switch. So poor communities have to be trained on how they're going to cope with the impact of climate change. In those cases, for instance, we have taught communities how to look out for the dangers that will come with flooding, how to choose where to put their housing in safer places, how to have an evacuation plan if a disaster strikes, how to have provisions put away in temporary shelters and so on. So what we've seen over the last 5-6 years is as these hurricanes have continued to mount, the impact on poor communities has been mitigated by virtue of them being better prepared, understanding what is happening and having planned their where they live and how they go about their work in a way that they can respond. It's one small example of how the generous support to Trokra can help poor people to cope with the exigencies of this crisis that is looming in the world.
Mm. So what can we do to help the success of this campaign?
Well, I think there's two things. I think if people can engage with the campaign, with the materials that will go into the schools, for instance, that the school children will have, in the parishes, we will have a parish resource, and if there's a justice group or a discussion group getting together for Lent, there's an opportunity to look more closely at these issues and to understand them and what our responsibilities as Christians and as citizens of the world are in dealing with that. And of course, there is the generosity of people who continue to support the campaign. The Lenten campaign provides us with 1/3 of all the money we gather from the people of Ireland. It's absolutely essential for our work. Without the money, we cannot do the work. And I'd like to thank listeners for their generosity over the years. It's been extraordinary. Last year, we raised almost 12 million euro from the campaign. And I'm confident we'll do it again this year and perhaps with a little bit more, take into account inflation and the ever-growing demands on Trokra as an organisation. And once again, we just ask that people would be generous and that they would do so in a way of understanding what it is we're trying to do on this vital issue of climate change.